kids and then hand them back to their parents. It's a great place to be when you're a pastor, let me tell you. No, but hey, something that I wanted to, you know, Danny Williams, I think you guys all heard that Neil had passed away about a week and a half ago. I think it was. They had a celebration of life just with the family up at their farm yesterday. She just wanted to send her thank you to each and every one of you, and the Farrs especially, for just giving her the comfort, covering her in prayer, covering her with encouragement. It's to the point where God has moved her to the place right now that she feels confident she can come back to the lake area away from her family and be surrounded by family. So kudos to everybody. The shepherding team, I want to thank you. Andrew, message last week, I think it was awesome. Just thank you for everybody stepping up. Look, it just seems like every time I go on vacation, something happens. Andrew told me when we were working out the other day, hey, you just can't go on vacation anymore. Well, I don't think that's going to fly with my wife. I'm just saying. But thank you, everybody who stepped up. And we have a celebration of life for Steve, Amanda's dad, on Tuesday night there in Trafalgar. So, I think that's covered. Except for Ben, is this your first time back? Ben Personette's back with us after being gone for a year. We were wondering if he was going to make it back or not because he's been in town for about a month. But I wasn't going to point that out. But we're glad that you got caught up with your family, and we're just excited that you're back here. So, anyway, good morning. I'm glad you're here. I don't know about you, but over this past week, obviously there's been a lot happening in our church family, right? There's been a lot happening in our world as well. And I don't know about you, but there's, I was struggling a little bit over this past week. My struggles might not be so obvious, though. I was on vacation in this place, beautiful Alaska, right? And I was on vacation, and we're supposed to be having a great time, and then I hear this news about Charlie Kirk, right? You've all heard that news. It's everywhere, right? It's everywhere. Now, this was a horrific thing. It was horrific, and the way I found out was by social media, and that's even worse, in my opinion. But just to say, we live in a time, church. We live in a time when the actual news travels faster than the news gets a hold of it. You know, and so it was graphic, it was gruesome, it was sick. But the most terrific thing, as I thought about that, and I thought about my own life, and I thought about this, for me the most terrific thing is that there is now a wife that doesn't have her God-fearing husband, and two kids that don't have their God-fearing daddy to stand in the gap for them in this world that is becoming predominantly more evil. Or should I say, evil is kicking up a fuss a lot more right now. Evil wants our families. Evil wants anything and everything that is of God. So the bottom line is, it sucks. Let's just say it for what it is. But what I would experience through this time was something that I didn't see coming. I mean, I was faced with the ugliness within myself. You see, the things that I thought and some of the things I probably even said were not of God. While the act of that young man was absolutely evil, wouldn't you agree? The man himself could be freed from evil. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's very hard. I started looking at things around me. I started looking at things in our world in a different light. And I can honestly say that I am sensing in my spirit, I don't know about you, but I'm sensing in my spirit this huge shift in the things that's happening in our world. I mean, there are people that are, well, there's a lot more people going to church today. When did this happen? I don't know. September 11, when our world was faced with a different kind of attack. But as Christians, you can say political, whatever, but let me tell you, when a Christian is involved, a faithful man of God or faithful people of God is involved, when the evil attacks, to me, it is an attack on who we are in Christ. Bottom line. Bottom line, it is an attack on who we are in Christ. Now again, I don't know exactly what to do completely with what I'm feeling right now, except it took me to God's Word. And I'm seeking His guidance, seeking His direction in what He wants from me, right? We should be seeking every day, what does God want from me in the face of the things that's going on in our world? That's what every Christian should be asking themselves today. God, you're on the move. Where do you want me to join you? Where do you want me to join you in this? Church, I must remind us that God's Word is relevant today as it's as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago. Think about this in Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see, there's been a lot going on this past week. In all honesty, it's been going on for a while. The reality is, this doesn't just happen overnight. Okay? It doesn't just happen all of a sudden. When people do not carefully observe the distinction between good and evil, destruction soon follows. I see a world that says all the time, no one can decide for me what is right or wrong. If it makes you feel good, do it, right? Or they say, you do you, man. I hear that a lot. You do you, man. Church, it has been a slow fade of where we are today. The senseless murder of Charlie Kirk was an attack on here's the thing. And I think Charlie Kirk would if he could tell us, and he said it in his own words so many times, when he was attacked, it wasn't an attack on him, on Charlie Kirk, the man. It was an attack on God's truth. Okay? It was an attack on God's truth. Ever since the beginning of time, as we know it, Satan has attacked society by twisting God's word of truth, right? What did he say? Did God really say? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? I mean, you will surely die. Surely you won't die. You want to know what God... God just doesn't want you to eat from there because you'll be like God. Knowing good from evil, you'll know it all. The reality is, my friends, the evil that seems to be getting worse and worse as the days continue, are not just now happening. It has been happening for a very long time, over 6,000 years since the beginning of time, right? And we would say evil seems to be getting worse and worse because our world is becoming more and more dark and void of God's truth. That is the biggest thing. God's truth. Satan wants to Look, that's the reason why we have the attack on marriage that we do today. It's not about whether or not a man and a man can marry each other, or or a woman and a woman can marry each other. No, Satan is attacking God's truth, because the reality is, if you can knock out Genesis chapter 2, 3, and 4, right? And you can make it not relevant, then the rest of the Bible just can't be true. So when we look at these things that's happening in society today, we can come to the conclusion of one thing and one thing only. Look, somebody comes in here to take my life, it's not because John's something special. But John does preach God's truth. We should be standing in God's truth, no matter what the consequences may be here in this life. But I can guarantee you, as we continue on in this day, in life, every day that God blesses us with, the more we stand on God's truth, the more that truth is going to be attacked. Your characters are going to be attacked. But it's not because of you, it's because of who you stand on, right? Satan knows that God's truth will... Here's the thing. When I think about everything that has conspired in the last week and a half, it has really made me even more aware that Satan really doesn't want God's truth to go out. Because what happens when God's truth is shared? The captives are set free. That's what the Bible says. Captives are set free. John 8:32, right? Then you will know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. Satan doesn't want people to be set free. He does not. He wants them to remain captive. But we know, church, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is the truth that sets us free. Jesus is the source of truth. Jesus is the perfect standard of what is right, right? Jesus frees us from the consequences of our sin. He also frees us from our own self-deception. And He frees us from the deception of Satan. I am so thankful that I do not live under the law and the captivity of sin. Doesn't mean that I don't still mess up, but it doesn't hold me captive. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but that's something that I have to do every day, sometimes many times a day, right? So Jesus frees the captive. But now, my biggest struggle when I heard this news was within me, right? God revealed some hate within me that I didn't like. I had just preached before we went on vacation, right? I had just preached the week before I left the importance of loving the way Jesus loved, right? I mean, we are to love the way Jesus loved us. Yet I had such hate for this man that took another man's life that was completely unwarranted. It was completely unwarranted, but just the act of taking a man's life was unwarranted. The hate that was in me was also unwarranted. It was. So it caused me to dig into God's Word, because God's Word never says, right, never says to hate the man. We are to hate the sin, right? Jude 17 through 23, I'd like to read that for you, says this, if I can get to it. Jude 17 through 23. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, and who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Hating even the clothing stained with corrupted flesh. I have to ask you this morning, what is your goal? What is the goal of life? Is our goal in this life to have all the worldly things of life? Or is our goal to truly live a life that one day receives the greatest gift of all time? What is the greatest gift? We've talked about it. To hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's going to be the greatest thing that we could ever hear. I want to hear those words. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words. Now, I realized something this past week. In order to hear those words, here's the thing. In order to hear those words come out of Jesus' mouth, I am going to have to put myself in some very hard places in life. I have to stand on God's truth even when everyone around me hates His truth. Because His truth doesn't line up with their truth. Right? Church, we are in the last days. We are in the last days. We're in the last days. Things like we experienced this past week is only going to get worse. It is. It's going to get worse. That doesn't mean that we don't try to make a difference, right? That doesn't mean that we can't make a difference. We can make a difference in the lives around us. God has placed us in this place for such a time as this. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has for us. But I need you to know that the only way the lives around us change is by sharing God's truth. We've got to share God's truth. We must stand firm in Christ until our last day, our last breath. We must do good to the end. We have to. So as I continue this morning to answer the question that I started now a few months ago, what shall the church be doing in these end times that we are in? The first thing I'd have you write down this morning is this: I must love others like Jesus loved me. This is just a continuation of the message 2 weeks ago. I must love others like Jesus loved me. Now, I know I might be sounding somewhat like a broken record here, but there is something that Christians, I believe, have to get right, okay? I believe Christians have to get this right. We stumble, we fall, we sin, we fall short of God's glory. I get that. We repent, we get up, we do it again. You know, and God is so faithful to forgive us. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Amen? Thank you for loving me even when I'm unlovable. But there's something that I believe we have to get right. And love must be sincere. I want to read to you Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21. This will be where our teaching is going to start. And just so you understand, I don't know what your plans are for next week or the next week, but this is like a sermon series within a sermon series. So I know I'm on part 9, but like I'm on part 1 of this. So you'll want to come back, I hope. But let me just read this, verses 9 through 21. It says, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I must love like Jesus loved. What's that first line say in verse 9? It, the very first thing it says, love must be sincere, right? Love must be sincere. I'm here to tell you that that is not an easy task. It is not an easy task when you see people who stand firm on God's truth being murdered. It is not easy when you see loved ones around you being persecuted because they stand on the Word of God. It's not easy. Yet God's Word says that my love must be sincere. Now what does that mean, right? Well, let me just tell you, most of us over the years have learned how to pretend to love others, right? Maybe it's just me. We've learned to pretend to love others. We have been taught and learned how to speak kindly to others, right? We have learned how to not hurt people's feelings and to appear to take interest in people. We have learned that. Not only that, we may even be skilled in such a way of pretending that we feel moved with compassion when we hear of others' needs. Or we become very passionate when we learn of injustice happening. But God calls us, church. God calls us to a real and sincere love that goes far beyond pretense and politeness. I don't have to like the things that's happening in our world, but I have to continue to love. I have to continue to love. It's sincere love requires effort, right? Wouldn't you agree? Sincere love requires effort. Sincere love means helping others become better people, right? That's what we're called to do, to help others become better people. Sincere love requires your time, your money, and your personal involvement. Church, I believe it is not intended for just one individual to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. But oh, how we always count on that one person. But in all honesty, what can one individual do to impact an entire community with that kind of love? Right? They can't. Not by themselves. It's not possible. However, the body of believers who have been placed in a community can and they should. You see, together We need to look for people who are in need, who are in need of our love, of God's love. And then together we can impact the community with the love of Christ. It's vitally important that we do this together. And remember, anything we do in this life, if it is absent of God's love, it's really nothing. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 3. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith, a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Church, here's the deal. God's love should be the foundation of everything that we do here on earth. Should be the foundation of everything that we do here on earth. God's word reminds us that actions without love are empty. They are nothing. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. You know, every time I do a eulogy at a funeral, it usually causes me to reflect on my own life. It causes me to reflect on my own life, and I always come to the same place. And that place is a question. How did I love the people around me? How did I love those around me? Because, you know, we were talking, we'd left Renee's dad's showing the other day, and Tracy and I were talking on the way home. And we were kind of talking about our own funerals. And it's like, she's like, first she goes, well, what music would you play at my funeral if I died? And I said, oh, Skillet for sure. And she just looked at me. That's not the music she wants, jokingly. But then she asked me, she said, hey, what kind of funeral would you like? And I said, hey, I'm going to be cremated, so it's not like there's going to be a body there or anything. It's good. I don't know, just open up church. Maybe people will just tell stories. You know, I don't need a pastor to preach at my funeral. I just need to hear. I just want, hopefully you're going to hear stories about the way I loved. You know, if people are speechless and they can't say anything, then it kind of tells a tale, doesn't it? I mean, if I have to have a pastor preach at my funeral, not that that's bad, because I do that all the time. But one of the first things that I do when I do a funeral or to do a eulogy is, I mean, I've done funerals of strangers, but I spend hours with them before I do the funeral so that I get to know the person that I'm doing the funeral of. Because I can preach all day long, but how that man or woman impacted the people around them is huge. How do you love those around you? How do you love those around you? Because the reality is, my friends, it really doesn't matter what my kingdom here on earth looks like. It doesn't matter all the things that I own. It doesn't matter how much money I'm going to leave my kids. They're going to be very disappointed when I go. But the reality is, what really is going to matter to my family, to my kids, to my church family, is how I love them, how I walk through life with them. Was it a sincere love, or was it a love that was just expecting of something? The question becomes, did I love them the way Jesus loved me? And I must remind us that the only way that I can love that way is with the help of the Holy Spirit. this supernatural love that God is calling us to, this sincere love that God is calling us to, requires the power of the Holy Spirit to transform my heart and to enable me to love in that way. Because let me tell you, just like you, I've got people in my life that I look at and I don't think they deserve my love because of the way they treat me. But my love to them, it should not ever be contingent on the way they treat me, the things they do to me. It should not be. The reality is we need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to love the unlovable. You got them and I got them in our lives, right? A changed heart and a transformed spirit is absolutely essential for sharing God's love. So today, if you've got somebody that you're having a hard time loving, ask God to change your heart. Ask God to change your heart and transform your mind and your heart so that you can love them no matter what. You know, as we're going to talk about here in the next, I don't know, 6 weeks, I don't know how long this sermon series is going to take. Within the sermon series. As Andrew said this morning, the rapture might happen before I get done with the end times sermon. I get it. It's just, hey, God just leads me. That's all I can say. I'm not going to apologize for it. But the thing is, however many days or years we have left, I have left, you have left here on this earth, you will bring glory to God by the way you love. You will. And when you put His love into action in your life, the world will see it. And the world will know that you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ. The enemy's not going to like it, I can promise. But we're not here to make friends with the enemy. We're here to glorify God. Let's go into verse 9b. I think that's where we're going to get to today. 9b, the second part of this first verse. Write this down. I must hate what is evil and cling to what is good. There is so much in this, right? I must hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere, okay? So God's Word said, love must be sincere. And then He goes right into this. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. God's Word says, hate what is evil. Now, think about this. I think in these end times that we are living in, we need to get really good at hating what is evil. The church has got to get good at hating what is evil. Now, you're probably, I mean, you hear the word hate and you're thinking, golly, that's the problem in our world today is hate. But there is a right way to hate. You understand that. God's Word says to hate what is evil. You see, Christians are called to hate evil. What is evil? Well, it's sin, right? It's sin. It's wickedness of all forms. But we are not, catch this, we are not called to hate people. We are called to hate evil. We are not called to hate people. Let me hopefully bring some clarity to that. Biblical hate. Well, biblical hate involves completely rejecting and turning away from things that God detests. What does God detest? Well, He detests lying, pride, discord. He detests injustice. Biblical hate is an active, righteous opposition, right, to what opposes God. Catch this. God commended the church in Ephesus, for their hate of the practices of evil men. Catch this, Revelation 2:6. But you have this in your favor, Jesus says to this church. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Okay? He didn't say, I hate the Nicolaitans. He said, I hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. Okay? Huge difference. And something that I want to make sure that we understand here. As awful of things that people do in this world, we are never called to hate a person. We hate what they do. You see, so God was commending the church in Ephesus for hating the wicked practices of the Nicolaitans. They did not hate the people. Jesus honored them for that. He commended them for that, right? Look, God cannot stand sin. He can't. And He expects us to stand against sin. He expects His children to not be able to stand sin either. Wouldn't you agree that that's probably a big problem in our world today? I think there's this huge problem in this world, and even as I am a sinner standing before you, saved by grace. But the lines have gotten so blurred that people are just like, well, you know what? God, just take me as I am. I just do what I want, when I want, where I want. God just has to deal with it. I mean, He created me this way, right? No, no. Wrong. No, God hates sin. That's the reason why He sent Jesus to die on a cross and to be buried and to walk out of the grave. That's the reason why Jesus experienced what He experienced, so that we could be freed from sin. Church, God cannot stand sin. And Christians shouldn't stand sin either. We need to make people aware of their sin, but we need to do it in love, I would add. But something else that I think we need to understand, because evil is so prevalent in our world today. Okay? Evil is so prevalent in our world, this does not mean that God's message of love, grace, forgiveness, mercy will be received well. You know, I've often struggled in my ministry life. I'm like, I go around. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm that weirdo probably that's sitting on the bench in the Greenwood Park Mall waiting for somebody to sit down next to him going, hey, I just can't wait. Come on. Come on. But the reality is, as much as I've done that and shared what I believe is the greatest message of all time that saved me from who I once was, there's a whole lot of people out there that don't like my message. They actually hate my message. Doesn't make sense, right? If you've tasted and seen what God has done in your life, you have to be scratching your head sometimes. Why wouldn't anyone come to this message? Unless there is a movement out there that claims to be Christian that really isn't. That actually is a part of spreading hate rather than truly spreading the love of God. I just don't imagine anyone would just not receive it well, right? But the reality is, because of evil, right? Because of evil, it's not received well all the time. And again, because of evil, some of us will die sharing God's truth. It happens all the time. I get this thing in my email every day from a Christian magazine that I get, and it, inevitably there is some Christian somewhere that is being beheaded. They're dying all the time. I mean, you know, what happened to Charlie Kirk? Catastrophic. I get it. It sickens me. Probably one of the reasons why it sickens me so much is because it was like for the whole world to see instantly. I mean, it was pure evil. But let me tell you something. That's happening around our world Every single day. Every single day, Christians are being martyred for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is happening. It is going to happen. Jesus said in the book of Revelation that it will continue to happen. You know, in the book of Revelation, you know, the saints who had gone before us, who had died, who had been martyred, or their blood is crying out to Jesus going, "Hey, when are you going to go and avenge our blood?" And Jesus says to them, "Not enough blood's been spilled yet. It's not time. But it is coming. Bloodshed will be spilled in Jesus' name. And He will come again soon to avenge those who died in His name. But evil, which is one of the reasons why the second part of this verse 9 is so important, because God's Word says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. What is good in our world? I mean, really, what is good in our world? Well, Romans chapter 3, 9 through 12. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Now this is not, there is not one of us that was good enough in God's eyes. And what that means is there was no one innocent. Okay? There is no one good enough to stand before God on their own and get into heaven. If you think you're good enough, if you don't have Jesus and you think you're good enough, that God is going to look at you and go, "Man, that guy, he's good. I got to let him into the kingdom." You're sadly mistaken. Because there is nothing good in any of us, only that which is being remade in us through Christ Jesus. We have to be saved to be good in God's eyes. So there is no one good enough to stand before God to get into heaven. However, something that God really shared with me this week. However, every single person is valuable to God. Okay? Every single person is valuable in God's eyes because God chose to breathe life into them. Okay? He chose to breathe life into them, and because He loves every single person. You know, I heard this thing, and it was so crazy because I really believe in all my heart, and this isn't not at all a message about Charlie Kirk or anything, but it came to my mind that if that man that killed Charlie Kirk would repent and come to Jesus, He would probably welcome him into the kingdom. Because let me tell you something, there was this man called Saul, who is now we know as Paul, that was right there watching Stephen, the first person martyred in Jesus' name, watched him being killed, gave the orders for him to be killed. He sat there and watched him die, and I'm guaranteeing you right now, when Paul came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Stephen was probably the first person to welcome him into the kingdom. You know, those acts, I get it. They are awful. They are horrific. They are terrible. And we want an eye for an eye, baby. That's what we want, right? And there will be consequences. That man is going to have consequences for what he did. Because that is the law. But the reality is, eternity is a long, long time. And the most important thing is that a man or a woman come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because the reality is, I haven't killed anyone, but I have sinned greatly. Actually, Jesus said, those bad thoughts that I had is murder. So the reality is we need Jesus. Amen. And every person is valuable in God's eyes, which is the reason we need to cling to the only one that is righteous, that can stand in our place before God and make us right. His name is Jesus. The question is, do you know Him? Do you know Him today? The only way we can put ourselves in those very vulnerable and fragile places in our world is to be clinging to Jesus. The only way. Cling to what is good, the Bible says. What is good? Jesus is good. Cling to Him. His Word is good, wouldn't you agree? Cling to His Word. God's promises are good. Cling to God's promises. Church, we cannot lose sight of truly why we are where we are today here on this earth. I'll leave you with this, Esther 4:14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you are here on purpose, for a purpose, for such a time as this right now? You see, do you believe that God has you here today for today? For such a time as we are experiencing right now. The last name hasn't been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, my friends. The only way that we get, if there's a challenge, the only way we get away from this evil is for that last name to get written. Because the Bible says when that last name's written, Jesus comes. Jesus comes and He sets it all straight. Who doesn't want that? But the reality is you've got people around you that don't know Him, don't you? If He was to come today, you would grieve because there are people in your life that don't know Jesus. They need to know Jesus. And the only way that you're going, look, the only way that you're, and I'll leave it with this. This says right here, I love this scripture. If you remain silent, I think we can apply it to our lives. If you remain silent, relief and deliverance is going to come. It's going to happen. You know what? If I decide one day, you know what? I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to do what God's called me to do anymore. The reality is, I can do that. Somebody else take up the baton and go. That's what He's saying. That's what God's saying. He was saying here. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And then He goes on to say that you were here for such a time as this. Church, you are here for such a time as this. God has a reason for us, His church, in the times that we are living. You know, it's not a time to sit around and boo-hoo and ba-ha. It's a time to take our stand in the world in which we live and be the hands and feet that Jesus has called us to be. And the reality is, it starts right here. It starts right here and it goes out into the communities in which we live. The sermon series within a sermon series. We got through one verse. But you know what I love that about God's Word? We could probably come back to that verse next week and get a whole lot more information. I want to challenge you though today to truly, I mean, I think as you read in Jude, the hate for evil has got to be in a Christian in order to make a difference. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I've got to hate evil so much that it changes my life and it causes me to have compassion for the man or woman out in the world in which we live to be freed from that evil. But it starts with me hating it. Hating the acts of the evil in our world and having compassion on those who do not know Jesus. I'll leave you with that until next week. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you for, I thank you for having us here for such a time as this. I'm not sure I know exactly what that looks like. But I know you know. So help us, God. Help us to cling to you, to cling to your Son Jesus, to cling to your word, and to cling to your promises. God, I think one of the greatest things that could happen for revival in our world is that we would want you and your kingdom to be with you more than anything else. God, ignite a fire in our hearts that causes us to hate evil and cling to you. God, we do pray for the Kirk family. We pray for our world as they're preparing for today. God, I pray that you would keep the enemy at a distance. God, I pray that many will come to know you in this time. That many will become children of God. And that our world would at least in our community, it will become a better place. God, we love you. And I just pray for your protection over each family represented here this morning. I pray that you take care of their every need and that you bless them in the days ahead. God, we give this message, we give our lives, we give this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? If anybody would like special prayer this morning, our shepherding team will be